Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She is a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you have a problem that's been difficult to diagnose or treat, Dr. Donna can give a second opinion to help you and your vet keep your pets healthy. Email your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they make a personalized USDA-approved serum to control the symptoms. At Spot Platinum, their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. This show is also brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Dr. Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food has come true. Halo's new pate-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrate level. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Good evening, Dr. Donna. I have all kinds of email questions saved up from you from our wonderful listeners. How are you tonight?
I'm excellent. I know. I'm so excited to
It's so fun, isn't it, when people are asking us and they specifically say, can Dr. Donna answer this? And I feel so confident, like whatever you guys throw at me, I'm like, sure she can, because, you know, I'm just along for the ride. I learn every time somebody asks a question, which I absolutely adore. So there's a couple of curious ones. I'm going to read you this one. It's about a yeast infection in an ear and I think a deep misunderstanding that many people have about the word yeast that goes into bread, yeast and wheat, none of which has anything to do with yeast infections. So we all need to know that. Women need to know this too, but certainly cat and dog owners. My adored 13-year-old female cat is very healthy, but has a persistent yeast infection in one ear. I'm not sure how she knows it's yeast infection. My vet wants to give her quote-unquote allergy formula food. Oh, God, save me. But my first inclination is to make sure there's no wheat products or yeast in her food. Would that help? Oh, God, no, it has nothing to do with it. Also, does giving cats wheatgrass cause this kind of infection? She sees differing opinions. People stay off of Dr. Google. Anyone who has an opinion that bread, wheat, or wheatgrass for kitties could cause a yeast infection in the right. ear? Ay, ay, ay. So right. then she wants to know, as a final question, what food do you recommend to get a grip on this? Thanks. Of course, food has basically nothing to do with it. So Dr. Donna, right. persistent yeast infection. How do we know it's a yeast infection?
Well, and it sounds like clearly she has been to her veterinarian, and you know, it's a simple sample. A swab okay. goes into the ear, you put it out on a microscope slide, okay. and there are either yeast or bacteria. But one thing to keep in mind, the surface of our bodies, of cats' bodies, of dogs' bodies, there is a normal amount of bacteria and yeast that live there.
That's
this is
right.
normal.
That's right.
And one of the problems, when we start seeing an overgrowth of something, obviously if it's a bacteria, then we're dealing with bacterial skin infection. Called pyoderma. If we have overgrowth of yeast in whichever area we're talking about,
right.
it's yeast infection. Human women deal with that commonly, you know, with yeast infections in their locations. Cats and dogs tend to get it in the ears, in between the toes. But what the whole point is if you have a yeast infection, an overgrowth of yeast, these are normal yeasts that live there, not coming from wheatgrass, not coming from food. They live there normally. And they, for some reason, the balance of the body has been messed up,
yes.
and there is an overgrowth there. It can be as simple as a dog got a cat got a thorn in between the paw, and they're licking, and they're licking, and they're licking, and they're creating a moist, warm environment, and those yeast
right.
just go crazy. So the problem could be as simple as a local, I've got to pull this thorn out of the foot, all the way up to, and I know it sounds initially when you read that question, it's like there's some, what about this allergy issue? But the most common underlying cause of recurrent yeast infections in the ears is allergy, food allergy, inhaled allergy. You know, I know you're a seasonal allergy sufferer.
I'm the seasonal allergy sufferer.
But what happens in dogs and cats with the seasonal allergies or the seasonal that become non-seasonal allergies is they manifest it often as an overgrowth of yeast. So it's not terribly far-fetched when there's yeast infection that's ongoing with no other apparent cause for a food elimination, an elimination diet trial to be tried, or to go to recommend allergy testing and hyposensitization shots, because that's one of the things in dogs and cats, and this is different than humans, but it's one of those things that disrupts the balance of their body, and they can actually get recurrent yeast infections anywhere on the skin, but in the ears particularly. So it's not uncommon that an underlying food allergy or environmental allergy could cause a recurrent ear infection.
Now, however, may I just interject yes. that if this lovely lady has been listening to any of my shows for any amount of time, this cat would never have had any wheat in her diet. No cat should have wheat in their diet or more than 10% carbs. She should be meat only.
Right.
And therefore, you can't do a food elimination diet because we're hoping this kitty is on a high-quality canned food. It could be Waruva. Right. It could be Halo, especially the wonderful pate that was inspired by Dr. Donna that's 5% carbs. But what about Spot Platinum, our fantastic sponsor that does blood allergy testing? You can't do a food elimination diet if the food is persistently just protein.
Right?
So this vet wants to give allergy formula food. Okay, good. I'm happy to know that her vet understands, well, this could be an allergic reaction, probably environmental if the cat is being fed a species-appropriate food.
Right.
But to give a dry food for what? I mean, these allergy formula foods are for what? Some of them are for an allergy to a specific element in a diet that eliminates it, right? But that's not appropriate for a cat if the cat's eating correctly.
But there are, I mean, just to... There are formulas of food that are canned protein-based foods that are, let's say, for example, a venison-based food, like it's 95% venison.
Okay.
You know, there are offerings like that that are being developed because of this sort of problem. We want a cat on a species-appropriate diet, high protein, low carb, but it's got to be what we call a novel protein. So we're seeing diets with rabbit, venison, duck,
kangaroo, you know, ostrich.
Exactly. And we're not, you know, and you, but again, our overarching recommendation is make sure it's a canned food, make sure it's a high protein, a low carb, but we are seeing an increasing number of appropriate, appropriate canned food diets that can address allergies. So, but I want to, in this particular pet owner's question, I also want to address something else. If you have usually underlying food allergy or inhaled allergy, in all honesty, you're usually dealing with bilateral, meaning both ears are affected.
Right.
This is one ear yeast infection, which brings us tighter in to say this cat needs a deep ear exam because this cat could have a polyp in the ear.
Right.
We're looking for an underlying problem. If there is a recurrent infection in just one ear, maybe it's allergies, but most times the other ear is going to be affected as well.
That makes perfect sense.
So we have to, this cat should have a deep ear exam. You know, not a lot of times that can't be done awake. They many times have to be sedated or put under anesthesia so that you can look all the way down to the eardrum and make sure that there's not a polyp in there. You know, it's a 13-year-old cat. She could have an ear tumor in there. We see carcinomas. We see things down in the ear not infrequently.
Yes.
So if it's a recurrent yeast infection in one ear and it hasn't been given a good, deep, thorough examination under sedation or anesthesia, that's step one. The other thing is swab the other ear also, because you never know, that other ear may also have a low-grade yeast problem, but it's not as bad as this one, because then it means, okay, both of these ears are affected, and, you know, and this cat may indeed, that may be more suspicious of allergy. So...
Now, does the Spot Platinum allergy test that tests for up to 90 environmental and food elements. Is it just as effective for cats as for dogs?
I believe they do dog and cat testing.
They do.
Yes.
So yeah. Why wouldn't we highly recommend that? Well, obviously the deep ear. You got to go to the origin. But Why would you not do this? 20-year-old proven blood test that we have as a sponsor because we believe in them. We think too many dogs and cats are not being properly tested. People are just guessing at stuff.
Right. The way I would handle this cat would be, come in, get your deep ear exam, make sure that there's not something more serious going on that's causing a one ear problem. Swab the other ear to make sure to see if that ear also is diseased. Make sure we have a history. Is there any other allergy sort of signs? Does this cat have itchy skin otherwise? A cough? Does he vomit occasionally? Are there other signs which can correlate with allergy? And then a screening allergy test, I think, is completely appropriate if we've made sure that it's not just a the one ear portion of it is what really throws it away from being allergy. So that's why we would want to look at the other ear. We'd also want to make sure that this cat doesn't have something locally in the ear that's problematic. In this age pet, that's really important. And then from there, yes, if we think allergy is the most likely thing, let's do some testing, to properly identify what it's allergic to, and then select a diet if it appears to be dietary, or select, should we be thinking about allergy shots? Should we, then whatever's appropriate based on some good testing.
Well, I think one of the things that Spot Platinum also makes, if it's already out, and I think it's also good for cats, is they have an oral, rather than having to get shots, which is daunting both for some people physically and other people financially, if the cat were found to be allergic to specific things, there is a sublingual way of giving it just in the mouth, right?
Right. Which, again, may be a bit more challenging in a cat than a simple sub-Q injection.
Yes, but it depends on the cat. But either way, the same company that tests will make the serum to help with
the allergens.
Yeah, to deal with the antibodies. So that's a really good thing to know. What about seeing a specialist for this? Given that we have a veterinarian, forgive me, Mr. or Mrs. Vet, I'm sure you're the loveliest person on the planet. And maybe there's things that this emailer has left out, and you've done all these exams, and you really think it's a food allergy. Why? I don't know. You would think that because you clearly have not done the testing. Rather than the really minimal Band-Aid of allergy formula food, which I will bet you dollars to donuts, he or she is trying to sell a dry food in a bag. Just saying, that's my guess. I hate to be cynical, but that's the direction that the veterinary field and the food field seems to be going in. Would it not be better for her to see a specialist at this point? Or is that premature?
I think your point is well taken. It depends on what sort of evaluation has been done here. If this cat keeps going in with a yeast infection and they keep just putting in a drop and saying, oh, there's a yeast infection, let's give it allergy food, then I think, maybe getting a second opinion and going to someone, a dermatologist would be the appropriate specialist to see for something like this. I think that is an appropriate next step. However, if, what we don't know, and many times pet owners don't share with us, is that, yes, they have put this cat under anesthesia, they've done a deep exam, there's nothing going on, that's a predisposing cause. We just don't know how much has been done. And that's where our limitation is. But if this is a, I'm going to encourage any pet owner that has a recurrent health condition that you're not getting answers for from your veterinarian, that's an appropriate time to see a specialist, always.
And I would say the specialist should be an internist, which is what Dr. Donna is. And the reason I say that, Donna, is because we don't know that it's a dermatological problem. It's showing on the skin, so the dermis is somehow involved. But if it's a polyp, and if it's a growth, and it's benign or malignant, an internist, you guys study a lot of cancer. You have a huge amount of knowledge about all of the different body parts and more sophisticated ways to deal with them. So an internist would be the guide to what to do next. If you go and spend the money and the time of the dermatologist and she goes, I don't know, or gee, I think there's a growth, now you better go see someone who does growths. An internist, of whom there aren't that many either. But I mean, is this a case where you think it would be appropriate for this person to work with you as a second opinion vet with her own vet so that you could...
Well, I mean, unfortunately, this cat needs some diagnostics done. It needs to have, you know, again, we're working under the assumption that they've not had an exam. I will be minimally helpful because I'm long distance. I can't do any additional exam. So this person needs to go see someone who can provide, you know, the adequate examination. Now, working under the, again, if this veterinarian has done that examination and there was nothing there, then yes, I mean, I think it's something we can, you know, we could work on together versus, you know, I mean, it just sort of depends on,
we have
limitations.
And you're always so kind to all of your fellow vets, all of whom I really love as human beings, but some of them are just seem to be self-limiting in what they will do with the knowledge they have. And I have to say, this is an adored 13-year-old female cat, adored. This is a cat she adores. God bless you for that. So if you have a vet talking about allergy formula food right off the bat, I don't think there's been any looking in the ear, because if there were, for sure she would have mentioned that. From now on, you guys, we love your questions. Email them to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Dr. Donna and I will go to town on them. But please give us the maximum information you have, the maximum, okay? It will make it so much easier for Donna to give really even better advice than she already gives. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a question, a diabetes question, a good one from Rosemary in North Haven, Connecticut. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxaCheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. VaxaCheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new VaxaCheck titer test for cats, too. This show is also brought to you by the pheromone products Feel Away for Cats and Adaptil for Dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that create a signal of comfort in your pet's brain and are natural stress relievers that can help solve behavior problems and help adopted pets make the adjustment to their new home. Adaptil is good for dogs with travel or separation anxiety, and Feel Away can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Both Feel Away and Adaptil are available as a diffuser or a spray. We are back. Dr. Donna, you are a big diabetes specialist. You love helping people with diabetes.
Yes, I love diabetes.
You love it. It's really...
I love getting rid of diabetes.
Yes, you love managing it well. You love overcoming insulin dependence. You love all that. And just for you guys listening, cats, poor babies, are the ones most suffering from diabetes in this day and age. The odd dog develops diabetes usually later in life. But kitties, their type 2 diabetes is not something they're born, which would be type 1, as in childhood diabetes in humans. But it's something that tends to happen later in life. And just like with people who get obese and eat the wrong food and don't exercise, we have done this to our cats. This is my little soapbox moment. Dr. Donna can, you know, buff her nails. But for real, you have to not feed dry food to your cats. And then you won't have to come to us with this question. You will call right into us and say, what do I do with all the extra energy my cat has? And what about all the extra time I have? I don't have to vacuum my house every 5 minutes because my cat's not shedding because I stopped feeding kitty crack and I'm feeding canned high quality meat to the obligate carnivore, or as Dr. Elizabeth Hodgins now calls them, hyper carnivores, which is a great phrase she read in Scientific American. So here is the question from Rosemary. Can tight regulation testing be done versus Plantis Gargine instead of PZI using the scale provided on the website? Does that mean anything to you?
Well, I think the question is, can Lantus, which is the name of the insulin is Lantus or Glargine. They're the same thing.
This
Glargine
is my bad handwriting. Sorry, Rosemary.
That's all right. Glargine is Lantus. Lantus is Glargine.
Okay.
So it's one type of insulin, and PZI insulin is another type of insulin. And the question is, can you do tight regulate? Can you test, you know, can you use the blood sugar monitoring at home and do a tight regulation with Lantus?
Can you explain to us what tight regulation is, please?
Well, there now, I mean, and this is what I encourage all of my owners of diabetic cats, if you have a diabetic cat, is to measure and check their blood sugar at home using a device. And my recommended device is the only device that's available for cat blood sugar numbers is the AlphaTrack. And it is...
We'll put a link to AlphaTrack with this podcast for those of you that want to know how to get it.
And you test, you know, before they eat, you know, depending, you know, there may be periods throughout the day, but you're usually checking blood sugars twice a day would be ideal. And that allows you to fine tune the exact insulin dose, and it makes our chances of getting these cats insulin off insulin even higher and higher. The tighter you regulate, you know, just think about how sort of crazy it seems. Like if you're a human being taking insulin, you might take X, you know, let's just say 10 units in the morning, and you might take another 2 units mid morning, and then you're going to take 15 later because your blood sugar is erratic. It's not exactly the same all day long. And we've always treated diabetic dogs and cats as you get X number of units in the morning and you get the exact same at night. It doesn't matter how much you've exercised. It doesn't really matter how much you've eaten. This is what we give. And that's just not the right way to monitor and when a cat can achieve diabetic remission, meaning coming off insulin, you really need to tightly regulate their blood sugar. You need to give them exactly what they need, not too much, not too little. And as soon as you do that for a period of time, usually within a 3 to 4 month period, many, many cats, a huge majority of cats will become non-diabetic.
Well, let me ask. So if you're just giving this blanket amount, which is what some people are doing or people are doing because they aren't up on this tight regulation, it doesn't give, what is it that it doesn't allow your own body to do in terms of the pancreas and insulin by just giving it this amount that is not specific to your cat's particular needs a couple of times a day? What is it that it's doing, whereas tight regulation, giving it just what it needs, what is that allowing the pancreas or the insulin to do?
Well, I mean, a little complicated, but essentially...
Do it in layman's terms, or just
yeah,
so
I
we
will,
have like...
Of course.
Just so we get a sense of what our goal is.
The more non-specific amount, really the way you need to think about it, the more non-specific amount, let's say your vet says give 2 units morning and night.
Okay.
Well, 2 units at some point could actually be an underdosage. Your blood sugar may be higher than what 2 units can manage.
Right.
And so this cat is going to be high on the blood sugar all day. The other thing is that sometimes 2 units could be an overdosage, and it could be more than what that cat needs. And so that cat's going to be lethargic and dumpy because he's a little hypoglycemic.
Ah.
Versus if you check the blood sugar and you know exactly what the blood sugar is, you say, we need to give that cat 1.25 units now.
Wow.
Later, I might need to give it 3 units.
Wow.
So it's fine-tuning the exact number and the exact insulin requirement. What it allows is for the best blood sugar level throughout the entire day, that you're going to be managing this cat in the ideal blood sugar range, which allows the pancreas to take a breath and be like, "Woo, do I feel better?"
All
of a sudden, it's going to start secreting its own insulin.
So that's really what you're doing. You're giving this breathing room to the pancreas, the organ.
If the blood sugar stays too high all day long, which is the tendency of most veterinarians, is to give kind of a conservative dose of insulin so that the blood sugar in general is too high throughout the day. The pancreas is constantly working. It's like, oh my gosh, my sugar's high. I'm trying to secrete insulin.
I'm busy.
The pancreas never gets to breathe that sigh of relief like it does when the blood sugar is in the ideal range. And that's called sugar toxicity or glucose toxicity. And essentially the pancreas never gets a break, and so it never recovers. Versus if you tightly regulate and keep the blood sugar in an ideal range, the pancreas gets that breath of relaxation and can sometimes come back online and secrete insulin normally.
That's a great explanation. And maybe it's in layman's terms, but we need to understand that our organs, ours and our animals' organs, are all trying to do their own best and try to do their best job. And we need to give that pancreas, which has become dysfunctional from usually obesity and feeding all those carbs and creating all that sugar in the cat, a chance to get back to doing its job. You know what this makes me think of? We just have a minute or so left, but it makes me think of what I had learned and why I feel so deeply and strongly about not feeding, free feeding dry food to cats or free feeding anything to cats. Is my understanding is it's similar to this pancreas in an analogy sense that I've been told that, or I read or learned, that the cat's digestive system is very short. So it's mouse in, mouse out, and then it needs to rest for many, many, many hours. You don't want to keep food in the digestive system continuously in a cat the way you do in a horse or a cow that are ruminants that are meant to be grazing all the time, because my understanding is that since the skin is the biggest organ of waste, right? One of the reasons that cats get dry, dull, matted, flaky hair when they're on dry food is because the digestive system is overburdened with this constant flow of also inappropriate food, but that it needs to rest. Is there truth to that?
Yeah, I mean, yes. The short answer is there is, you know, I don't know as if the direct correlation to the flaky skin and everything can really be made, but their design as a carnivore is to eat that very calorie dense, high protein, higher fat meal.
Yes.
And then with their short digestive tract and all the things that you just said, and then to have a period of rest before they eat again. That is absolutely true.
Okay, goody. So we only have a couple of seconds left, but the correlation between the skin is I didn't understand why so many cats, when they went on the Waruva Biggest Kitty Loser contest and just dropped Kitty Crack for 2 weeks and just fed any canned food. Waruva mm-hmm. would be great, but whatever they could find or afford. And all these cats, besides beginning to drop weight quite marvelously, they became shiny and sleek right. and stopped shedding and didn't. And so I don't know, this was an extrapolation I made, that if the skin mm-hmm. is the organ of waste, I actually had read it somewhere that the body's constantly trying to deal with all this additional food, a lot of it inappropriate. Right. And it reflects in the skin. Who knows if that could right. be a little bit conjecture-y.
Right. And the other thing to think about is, you know, when they're eating a species-appropriate food with more protein, more fat, that is right. incorporated into the skin layers versus carbohydrates, which are very inflammatory, you know, and so it, from a knowing that their diet doesn't have those carbs in it, they have more species-appropriate fat, it does condition the skin in a different way.
Okay, so everybody just take note. And don't worry about wheatgrass, because wheat and yeast and grass have nothing to do with each other. We certainly hope to get word back from this wonderful woman who adores her cat. Let us know what's the next step. We want to know. And email us with any of your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Donna, thanks for another great night. I have a wonderful question for you next week. We will be back then. Have a great
All
night.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Ellen DeGeneres, like the one from TV. And if you love your animals as much as I love mine, you'll feed them Halo pet food. It's so good, the National Canine Cancer Foundation awarded my company, Halo, its first ever seal of excellence. So do what's best for your pet and feed them Halo.
Halo, the number one selling natural pet food brand, using only real meat, never any meals. Halo is available at Petco, Whole Foods Market, and your local pet specialty or natural food store. Visit HaloPets.com.